but there is a din that appears in the Gemara and Daf Pei Amud Beis. Appears in the Mishnah and Pei Amud Beis, and goes into Pei Aleph from an Aleph. If you had a chance to see it, that basically states, first the Mishnah says, Kala umnim shomrei sachar hein. So all of the workers, and as we'll see, it's a big machlokas, what that means by all of the workers. But in general, in this parak, by the way, the phrase umnin, the way the Rishonim and the Achronim understand it, is umnin is an umbrella term which probably includes both polim and kablanim, and maybe anything in between. It's a word, a phrase that doesn't seem to identify one or the other. The word umnin has a connotation of craftsmanship, so therefore it seems that it certainly should include a kablan, but it seems to include a poel also. That's been the trend in this parak. So here, it's not 100% clear what we're referring to, but the Mishnah tells us this din, they're called umnim shomrei sachar. So if you have a worker, the worker has a status like a shomer sachar. And Rashi over here comments, kol umen kablanim, hamakablam aleihem lasos hamalacha bivatehem. So you have to see how precise that language is. And each one of those words could offer a discussion about a possibility it could go in a different direction. But so far, what does Rashi tell us? If you have a task worker, as opposed to an hour worker, who accepts upon themselves to do malacha on their own premises. So what is their status? They are shomrei sachar, says Rashi, l'schayev b'gneiva v'aveda, the time of farish b'gemar. So therefore they accept responsibility for whatever it is they are working on. So you give them materials to work with, so they accept liability. And therefore, even if it gets stolen, it's not just that they are neglectful towards it, but something happens which they couldn't necessarily have fought off so easily, they're still liable because they're considered to be shomrei sachar. So why are they considered to be shomrei sachar? So that's not such an obvious idea, right? You'll say on the one hand, okay, they're getting paid, so that's where the schar comes from, but it's not so obvious that they're getting paid to watch the item, to accept the liability for the item. They're getting paid for their labor, which involves them interacting with the item. So the Gemara tries to figure out exactly where this is coming from. Lema mas nisin deloike Reb Meir. So this seems to go against Reb Meir. The Tanya soicher ketzed mishalim. So if you have somebody who rents something out, so how does he end up paying for damages? Reb Meir omer kishomer chinam. Reb Yehuda omer kishomer sachar. So there Reb Yehuda says kishomer sachar, and that's the halacha in that case. So it seems like the person in that instance, is considered, Reb Meir would call, consider him to be a shomer chinam. So, how do we explain the position here? There's explanation here. So here you see Rashi says, Reb Meir omer kishomer chinam, dekai yohev ogre malachto, ve'eino notel schar al shmiraso. That here he is giving the fee for his work, but he doesn't take schar for his shmira. V'umin dami l'socher, sholahanos, schar menoso hevi etzlo. So the umin is comparable because the reason this is with him is because he needs to have it with him in order to get paid. Avalos schar shmira hu notel eschar pu'ula. That since he's getting paid for the work and not getting paid for shmira, so you would not think that he should necessarily be considered to be a shomer sachar. That would seem to be Reb Meir's position. So first says the Gemara, not necessarily. Afilu temu Reb Meir, maybe even if you want to say like Reb Meir, behoya no dekashavik kuli alma va'agilu didei havi alave shomer sachar. And in a sense, he's getting paid. He's getting paid with a hana. He's getting paid with the hana of the fact that this person, this employer, is rejecting everybody else and focusing on him, which is a very interesting idea. Somehow that makes him into a shomer sachar. And then the Gemara gives another possibility. Or you could say, "Alafilu temer meir b'hoya no dekayov leitfei pursa havi halavei shomer sachar." You could say also that he's paid a little bit more, that the payment that he gets is not going to be so precisely just for the work. Rashi says, and we can't say that we know exactly that the salary he's getting is only exactly what his work is worth and not a cent more. So presumably there is some excess. And therefore, whatever excess he's getting, that excess makes him into a shomer sacher. And then the Gemara and Daf Pei Aleph, and we'll come back to this point a little bit later. So the Gemara goes on to talk about what happens after he finishes the work. And he still has the property with him, and he's ready to give it back to him. So that's the top of Pei Aleph Mod Aleph, whether or not he's still considered to be a shomer sacher once he's already been paid for his work and he's ready to let the guy take it back, which has some halacha l'maisa ramifications. So I saw some tshuvas halacha l'maisa about this, which I just wanted to share with you as a way to discuss this topic a little bit, because it does come up. There's a sefer called Minchas Tzvi. It's written by a contemporary Talmud Chacham named Rav Tzvi Spitz, who's written a few others far more recently, which are a little more populist. But this is a pretty detailed sefer of Shilas and Shuvas that he wrote, I think, a while back, around 25 years ago. And he has the following case. It says, Ruvain holach mi beiso. And so Ruvain left his house, v'shol sa'erev, v'hishir mitapeles v'schar shetishmor al yolod m'shalo. K'dei shlo yivchadu lihishar levar b'bayis. Ruvain leaves his house, and he leaves a babysitter in the house, so that his kids should not be afraid to be home alone. Ulam mitapela shacha linelas adeles yachar sheRuvain yotze mibeiso. After Ruvain left the house, she forgot to lock the door. Beholchala lecheder kitzayni shebabayis. She went to an extremist position. She went to a far corner of the house, somewhere far away from the front area. She wasn't watching what was going on over there. So kasher Ruvain chaz lebeiso, Ruvain comes home. What does he find? Who nochach leros shedelas haknisa psucha, that the front entry door is open. And guess what happened? V'nignivu lo chafatzim rabim mibeiso shayim unachim sham kodim lachto. And a lot of the things in his house got stolen. V'fikach hu toveya me'am etapela shetishalem lo avor mashen nignav. So therefore, he tells this mitapeles that he wants her to pay that which was stolen from him. V'chein eino rotsa l'shalim los char avur avudasa. And also, he doesn't want to pay her for what she did for the babysitting. V'ilu amitapeles toenes, and here the babysitter is telling, she's arguing, shehimikabelas char avur shmirasa l'yelodin bilvad, that her payment is only for watching the kids. V'kachi achein asasa, and that's what she did. She watched the kids. V'eila kol achrayis shel shmir al cheftze habayis. She has no responsibility on the other things in the house, just on the children. V'fika achi peturim l'shalem hadinim mi. So therefore, she claims she is exempt from paying. Who is the halacha with? So any initial thoughts? What do you think? What are the issues here? Jay, you have a thought?
Maybe, like, if she's hired for something that her kids, then maybe she's responsible for the house.
Right, that's her claim, right?
Right.
So far, what we've seen, we haven't seen so many of the Rishonim or Achronim, but we've seen the Din and the Gemara, right? So we know there is such a concept that Umanim are Achroi for Shmira. But we're not sure that it necessarily matches, right? What's the difference? So one difference might be that she's hired with a specific task. The task doesn't necessarily involve Shmira. That's her claim. Except that you'll say to her, yeah, we know that, but that's still what the Mishnah says, that despite the fact that you don't think you're getting paid for Shmira, there is Shmira. But still, there are some differences, Willie?
Yeah. Same thing, one says like an actual, I think, shtar or whatever.
Or not necessarily a written contract, but
something that says that her
should be spelled out.
Only just to watch the kids, the house is completely a separate entity. Then I think that he would still, he would definitely have to pay her. But every situation, I mean, you just assume if you're watching the children in the house, you kind of, you know, you should probably care what's going on in the house. Usually when you're in the house, you'll, if somebody tries to come in, you'll be there, you'll sort of scare them away.
Okay, so you're saying an important point. Let's just try to figure out, though, what's the significance of that point. Are you saying usually if somebody's in the house, so they'll scare off a burglar? Right? So what's the significance of usually? So so what, Jay?
I was thinking that maybe it was her. Since she, maybe she doesn't have a responsibility to watch the house, but she definitely has a responsibility to lock it after you left.
And where does the responsibility come from? Because she's the worker?
Because
of this din? Well, if the Mishnah said that she's a Shomer Sacher, right? But she's a Shomer on the kids, Pashtas.
Well, she could be locking the door to make sure the kids don't go anywhere.
Ah, so now that's an interesting point. So you're saying that maybe the job would have required her to do this anyway, and that would have had a extra bonus effect that it would also protect the items in the house. Sorry?
That doesn't take away from anything that she's doing. Like, I don't have corporate from what we learned yesterday.
You're saying that locking the door shouldn't be...
It's the, like, the low chaser.
So you're saying all that. So then it's low chaser. That's so easy for her to do this. So... But the svara that you're saying, you know, so is it necessarily contingent on the fact that she is being paid? You could say the same thing about, let's say, I have a cousin who wants to stay at my house. So I tell my cousin I'm going to go out to work. So I say, all right, I'm leaving the house now for a few hours. And I expect that he'll scare off the burglars. And he chooses not to. He chooses not to lock the door or anything. Is there a difference between that and this?
He's not high necessarily to it. He's, you know, staying in the house. You're not saying you're watching. He's not a house sitter. He's just a guest in the house.
But the babysitter's not a house sitter either.
The babysitter's not necessarily a house sitter either. So I don't think that the babysitter necessarily... There's a lot of different variables, I mean, but I don't think the babysitter has that sort of a chias to, you know... That's not their job. It's not their job to just scare off, unless you want to say, to watch.
But I think before you were leaning that it was her job a little bit, right?
Yeah. I can see it going both ways.
Okay, but let's just try to figure out why it should go both ways. Let's try to figure out what are the operative elements here. So does it match this mission exactly? Are there differences? And if there are differences, are they problematic, or do they still leave room for her to be chayiv?
I think there's definitely room for her to be chayiv. I think you could go along with, you could say it's, quote unquote, I would say it's a Yashua Tov, and
and the problem with the Asisa Yashir V'Hatov, which is wonderful in general, is the problem with it. It's not something that she's going to be chayiv ever, right? It's going to mean that she should do it, or not ever. Sometimes we do find that there are those who say kofin, although that usually is before the fact. But generally, in order for her to have to pay, so she'd have to be not just chayiv alts Asisa Yashir V'Hatov, but have to be literally her liability. And if we'd have a suffix about it, then presumably, who's going to win if there's a suffix? She'll win. Okay, she'll win totally, or she'll win part of the equation.
Isn't it amotz
mechaver? Right. So it seems like it's amotz mechaver al harayah should be the rule, but who's the motzi and who's the muchzak here? Because there's two things going
on.
It would seem like it, right? So it seemed like from that perspective, she would win. She shouldn't have to pay. But keep in mind also, he hasn't paid her yet. And he doesn't want to pay. So maybe on that part, maybe he'll be the muchzak.
I mean, she'd have to pay anyway for the zikin because she's at the house. Like, if this is at her house, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting paid to wash in her own house. But if the person's coming to the house, it could be sort of in the... not necessarily steal it, but it makes sense to say that if you were in my house, you should at least, you know, make sure... everything is okay. If something's going on, like if there's a fire in the house, you're not going to call 911. You're going to let the house burn down to the ground.
So that's a strong point. The question is just how are you identifying the point? You're saying that basically any reasonable person would act in this case, and therefore by not acting, that's a pshia, even if there's no specific agreement to do that.
Well, I think it depends on...
And then would you say the same thing to my cousin? If I left my cousin in the house and said, you know, you failed to call 911, you're chayev? Or is it just the babysitter who's chayev?
I think it's different case because the cousin, you're not paying them to do anything. You're just staying in the house or crashing in the house. By all means, they're a freeloader.
Okay,
they have
so
no
then
responsibilities. But if you're giving, even though the other person has responsibilities, it's not. it's not necessarily to that. So yeah, they have responsibilities to the kids. If the kids are in the house, then it's you know, you're a poche. If you don't lock the door, if you're, you know, if you assume you're going to watch them, that's one thing. But you can't necessarily assume that.
So let's just break down the different elements of what you're saying. So you're saying that you think that the fact that somebody's getting paid, even though they're getting paid for a different job, that already makes them more liable, and the threshold is different now. They're more likely to be held responsible even for something outside their job description, while somebody who's not getting paid at all maybe doesn't have that liability. Maybe. It's a possible position, which does seem a little bit to be the chiddush of our Mishnah, right? That you think she's only getting paid for this, but we see that no, there's a shmira involved as well, and there's a paid shmira. Now we could also wonder, maybe is our Mishnah specifically talking about kablanim? Is the babysitter a kablan or a pole? Pashta, she's a pole, it seems, right? She's paid by the hour. It's not like she has a specific task to do. She'll get paid exactly based on how many minutes she's there, presumably. So is this a din by a pole or is it din by a kablan only? That's also something we'll have to figure out. Does it basically mean that we hold you liable because you're getting paid even outside the scope of your responsibility? So therefore, how far does that go, right? So when I give you an item to work on, I give you my bicycle to fix, let's say, and something happens to the bicycle. All right, so it's already enough of a chiddush to say that you're getting paid not only to fix the bicycle, you're also getting paid to watch the bicycle. But here, we're extending it not just beyond the task, but beyond the item, so to speak, the item of the kids, and we want to say that not just the kids, but also the household should be included. Now, is the machayev really that, if there is a machayev, or is the machayev some type of basic pshia? Kind of, it's so easy to do and you could have done something and you didn't. But still, the only reason she's on the table at all for pshia is because she's paid to do something in the first place. Or would you say, no, I would say the same thing to my cousin, that maybe somebody who could so easily have done something and didn't, maybe that's also a liability. And my cousin, by the way, theoretically is getting paid also, right? Because in a sense, by living in the house, if he's living in the house for free, so then sometimes we find that's also machayev. We could say, kol hana shalo, right, that he's getting the whole benefit of living in the house. So maybe that should impose some kind of liability. All right, so with some of those questions laid out, let's try to take a look a little bit. We won't read the whole thing inside, but just to get a sense of the discussion, let's take a look a little bit at what he says. So he says, shaninu b'metziyeh peyim ebeiz, the Mishnah we just saw, so it seems like from Rashi, so one thing it sounds like from Rashi is that part of the definition here is that the worker takes it home. You give him the item to work on, he takes it home and he works on it there. So there, he becomes a shomer. Sounds like from Rashi that if he's working in your house, you hire the plumber to come to your house and fix the toilet, and something else happens to the toilet while he's there, then maybe he's not a shomer sach. That's already one point to think about. V'chein kosev b'sma, and this is also what the sma says in Shin Vav Aleph, Shemosa poilos ha-malacha b'beis balabas, lo muteles alav ha-shmir al-achefet sh'oved bo, that if he's working in the employer's house, there is no chiyuv shmira. Umash mitvar sham shebenidin kazeh ein hevdel ben kablin l'schir yom shneim veis balabas l'nechshav m'shayim l'achefetz. So it seems like this exclusion that he's saying, that the din doesn't apply in the boss's house, would be true whether the boss is hiring a kablin or a poel. El shechir sham asmash v'schir yom, that's a poel, afil u'moise samalacha bebeso. Gam kein eino shomer sachar l'chayfetz. So here he's saying another chiddush. He's saying that in the boss's house, none of them are shomer sachar. But also, the din in our Mishnah that a kablan who takes something home is just shomer sachar. That is davka, a kablan. But a poel who takes the item home to work on is not going to be a shomer sachar. In other words, he won't be a shomer sachar In either context, not in the boss's house or in his own house. Why? What's the difference between a Shomer Sacher and a Kaplan for this purpose? Why is that significant, the fact that he's paid by the hour instead of the task? So he says, Ki aschar shemekabel einu avur hashmira ela avur avudaso. So it seems like the schar that he's getting is purely for his work. Ulam shomer chinam. However, maybe we should still call him a shomer. Just a shomer chinam. Let's say we won't convert any of his salary towards the shmira, but he still is a guardian of some sort. So Nir Lafinius Daiti says the Mechabi here, the Gam Lasmav Habachi, yeah? The Logara Mikol Nifkad. It seems like he's no less than anybody else who's watching somebody else's property. Right? Our Mishnah in Bavitsi in the third paragraph, when we talk about the Shomrim, and we say there are four types of Shomrim. So we're essentially trying to sketch out all of the different scenarios by which you have somebody else's property in your possession. So either you're paid to watch it, or you're watching it for free, or you borrowed it, or you paid to rent it. Those are the four scenarios in the Mishnah. But the assumption seems to be that unless you're a thief, which is its own issue, if you have this somebody else's possession legally, somebody else's stuff legally in your possession, so you got to fit into one of these four categories. So what about this scenario? Somebody gave you something to work on it. So if you're going to tell me it's a shomer sacher, so the Mishnah sounds like, okay, so that's the category it fits into. But if you're going to say that you're only a shomer sacher if you're being paid for the task, if you're a kablan, but you're paid by the hour, then it's purely for your time, and you're not a shomer sacher, if you want to say like that chiddush, you still got to be something. So what are you going to be? So maybe you're a shomer chinam at least. It's the lowest level of obligation. But it's got to be something. So you lo gari mikol nifkad, you shouldn't be any less obligated than anybody else who has somebody's stuff. Fine. Ulam, however, b'shach, sham sifkat na'alaf, the shach disagrees with this premise, says, she'ein kol nafkamina ben poel schir yom l'kablan. There's no difference between a poel who is working per hour and a kablan. Rejects these two distinctions. So we don't care where you're doing the work, we don't care what type of work arrangement you have. The worker is always considered to be a shomer sacher. Kevin shezehu schoro. Right, so that specific hana, that's like we saw in the Gemara, it's a little bit of an unusual idea, but the fact that he's benefiting makes him into a shomer sacher, nechsheves kischar sheosa so'umin shomer sacher lachefetz k'mavur betosus b'metzia peyim and beis dimamassel the katofis leis. That's the tosus over here, the last Tosfos on the daf. You can take a look. Uchidas hashach mavur gam kein biksos shinvav etcetera siv shinvav dalit. Okay, so this is machlokus here. Machlokus between the sma and the shach. Right, the sma so apparently minimizes this din of the shomer sacher, that it only applies to an omen working in his own house, and not to anybody working in the boss's house, and not to a poel. And presumably, if it doesn't apply, then the person is a shomer chinam. And the shach disagrees and says it applies to all of our categories. Poel, kablin, his own house, the boss's house, the whole thing applies. That's essentially what our Gemara is saying, that he's getting schar because he was chosen for the work. That hana that he gets by being the one who won the contract, that makes him into a shomer sacher. Now, you could break it down, right? You could say he's a shomer because he has somebody's stuff in his possession. So that right away makes him a shomer. He's got to be one of the dollar shomer. So once we already know he's a shomer, so let me just ask, is he getting paid? Fine, she's a shomer sacher. So I will say he's not getting paid at all because all of the money is allotted for his work purely, so he's not really getting paid. So that's what the Gemara has in its two approaches, that no, there's excess, either because there is excess, there always has to be, because we can't get the number exactly right, or there's the Hana, which is worth money. Are you familiar with the Gemara Bava Kamma? But just to illustrate how the payment can be a little bit non-traditional, the Gemara has a discussion about a Shomer Aveda. Are you familiar with this Gemara? And Daf Nivav in Bava Kamma, the Gemara says that if you find this is very relevant to Bava Metzia, but the Gemara is primarily in Bava Kamma, but the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us that you have a Chiyuv Hashavas Aveda. The Torah tells us that, but the Gemara discusses it in the second part of Bava Metzia, that if you find lost property, you have to return it. Not only do you have to return it, but until you return it, you have to watch it. You're a Shomer. So the Gemara has a question in Parakakones and Bava Kamma. So what kind of a Shomer are you? That's not an insult. What type of a Shomer are you? Are you a Shomer Sacher or a Shomer Chinam? No one's paying you to watch this object. We don't know that there's a reward involved in returning this. So who's paying you? Why should we call this guy a Shomer Sacher? So one opinion is, you're right, he's not getting paid. He's a Shomer Chinam. But again, it's the same point that we assume that any time somebody else's property is in your hands, you're one of the Shomerim. So if we only have these four categories, which one should Shomer Aveda be stuffed into? So you could say Shomer Chinam, no one's paying him. Or the Gemara says, the name of Rabbi Yosef, two other possibilities, two that are one, that he's a Shomer Sacher. Well, where is the Shomer Sacher? Where's the money? Show me the money. How's he getting paid? So one possibility, the Gemara says, is both answers really require a lot of analysis, a whole different topic. But one answer is Rachmana Meshavde, that Rachmana, God, is tying him down to a status of Shomer Sacher, which you could read a couple ways. You could read it as saying the Schar Mitzvah is what he's profiting, or you could read it to mean that there is no payment, but that Kodesh Baruch Hu imposed the Shmira upon him, so he can impose whatever level he wants, so he imposed the level of a Shomer Sacher, even though he's not really getting paid. However you want to read that line. Well, the other line is even more mysterious, Pruta de Rav Yosef, that's the din, that somebody who's involved in a mitzvah, like a Shmira Saveda, is putter from other mitzvos, Osig Mitzvah Patim in a mitzvah, so he's pater from stuck also, it sounds like. So if somebody's going to come and ask him for money, he won't have to give it because he's involved in Shmira Saveda, and therefore he'll end up with more money than he would otherwise have, so he's essentially profiting. It's a fascinating Gemara, there's a lot to say about that, but what emerges is that you can become a Shomer Sacher with non-traditional forms of profiting. It's not just that somebody says, okay, I'll pay you to watch this, but if you're a Shomer and you have Hana or Schar coming to you in an unusual way, that can still make you into a Shomer Sach. So, Bir Shom HaNasiva Sivkot Nalaf Dafal Gav the Shomer Tzarech Kenyan Shmira Ladasa Rambam says the Nasivis that even though a Shomer normally needs a Kenyan of Shmira, Vefil Ladasa Rosh HaCholek, and even the Rosh who disagrees with the Rambam, hold Tzarech Shiestalku HaBailim Yishmira LaChefetz. That the Bible is going to become a key phrase, that the, in order for the whoever it is to be liable, the owners, the Bailim, have to remove themselves from the equation. They have to take away their watching of the item. V'rak az mekabel ha-shomer chiyuv yishmira, and only from that point on does the shomer take on his responsibility. B'chol zos, b'soicher, when it comes to a renter, Tchilas Hashimush Bekli Nechshav Kinyan. As soon as he starts using this item that he rented, so that becomes considered like a Kinyan. Hein L'Inyan Shi'ef Shalachzer Bo Mi'Avodo V'Hein L'Inyan Onsen. One that you can't retract, and the other that you become liable for accidents that happen to this item. So, this seems to be a topic of some debate. That maybe there is a chiyuv shmira here. So since me'acher da davar tali b'pluktas rabaseinu achronim, since there is a machlokas achronim about this, yachal hamuchzak lomar kimli. So the one who is the muchzak, who is holding on to the money, which we saw could be both of them in some senses of the word, has the right to say, okay, I paskin like myself. I paskin like those views that favor me. So we call Kimli. However, he says, Umnam kol divrehem airi. All of these positions are really relevant when kasher hanidon hu alachefetz shavuro mekabel omin tzchai kidei l'takna. Right, this is what we were alluding to before. Do you think all of this only applies when we're talking about the item that the worker is being paid to fix? The Shach's opinion that you're always a Shomer Sacher in his house, in your house, Umman, Kabbalin, Polo, that's assuming at least that the item is the item you're being paid to work on. Masha'in came, Bishara Chafatzim Hanim Tsoyim, Bebase Balabas. But the other items that are found in the possession of the Balabas, Alibu de Kuliyam Maloy Nechshav Shomer Sacher Aleim. You should for sure think you're not considered to be a Shomer Sacher on that. Because his payment is clearly for the malacha he's doing on the item. And he never accepted shmira on the other items that belong to the balabas. But then the same question you could ask. Are we saying that, okay, fine, he shouldn't really be liable for the rest of the household? Does that mean he shouldn't be a Shomer Sacher for the rest of the household? Or are we saying that even a Shomer Chinam he's not? So he quotes here the Machane Ephraim, who quotes in the Shuvas Marashach, Shemasa Balabayis Biad Meshorso, Shemiyua the Sheruse Habayis Bilvad. Let's say the owner gives something in the hands of his attendant, whose job it is just to attend within the household. Chayfetz lishmor v'nignav miyado. He gives him an item to watch, and the item is stolen. B'chol zos pater hamasharis. In this case, his attendant is pater. Kevan shahainu ala chayfetz v'ak shem rechino. His status regarding this object is that of a Shomer Chinam. The afal pi shamisharis oimedes al balabayis b'schar, even though he's getting paid, mikol mokum lo nokir haschar b'shvil hashmira elo b'shvil sharusei habayis. He's not being paid to watch, he's being paid to do stuff in the household. So therefore, he's only a Shomer Chinam. So dim ke muchach lehedra, so therefore it emerges explicitly that here he accepts an item to watch, that he's definitely considered to be at least a Shomer Chinam, because he's no worse than every other person who's given something to watch. And with all that, he's not being paid for that. He's not considered to be a Shomer Sacher on this item, culture came benidon didon, especially in our case, devada lekibol apoyel lehedja lishmor labayis, because the pole for sure did not explicitly accept to watch over the household. De'ein lo din shomer sacher al chefse abayis, that this halacha of shomer sacher is not relevant to the objects in the household. Dal abayis atzmo im nizok pshita depata, because let's say, what if the house itself was damaged? So then it would seem quite indicated that he'd be potter. Dein shmir b'karkos, mevor b'simuchinal. There's no shmir relating to karkos. B'al karkach kol adin hu im nignivu chetzi metalton me'abayis. So we're only talking about if other items got stolen from the house. So what should that be? So he goes on to say here, the Minchas Tzvi, v'niru l'fiyani yistayi k'dim b'alabayis nimsa b'abayis b'zman sh'apoyal obey. What would you say in this case? What if the balabayis is home when the worker is working? So then, is he a shomer on the other stuff? What do you think? Same scenario we've had so far, but the guy doesn't leave the house. He's at home, but he expects that the babysitter will watch his stuff too. Yossi?
Well, balavimo does change the status of a shomer.
Right, so balavimo would mean what? It would mean that if he borrowed stuff from the worker, he'd be putter for the worker's stuff. Uh-huh. Right? But here we're talking about the balabas's stuff, that gets stolen. So if we're saying that on some level this babysitter becomes liable, is that premised on the fact that he wasn't home? Why should it be? Why should that be a part of it? If there is a chiv here on some level, why should it matter whether the boss is home or not? So he goes on to say like this. Then in this case, says pshita de'elo din shomer klal al cheftzei abayis. In that case, if the boss is home, it's obvious to this mechaber that that worker does not have the status of shomer on the household items. She'enam kishurim l'malachto. That which is not tied in to his work. Why? D'me'aylam lo histalku abayla mishmirasam. It's like what we saw before. K'mavor b'bachsam and shuvav aleph gabim b'beis balabas. That since this owner never removed himself from watching, he was home the whole time. And we're talking about stuff that's outside his actual labor. So it seemed quite obvious there's no liability at all under those circumstances. Ulam, however, m'holchu ha-bailim mi-beisam v'nisharak ha-po'el. If the worker is left, and it's only the po'el who remains, I think, says Mechaber, then in that case, he has a status like a Shomer Chinam, who's going to be Chayiv if he's negligent on the household items. We don't need to say this according to the Rosh's opinion. Which is what? Miyad shistalku abaylam me'ashmir al chafzeyem. As soon as the baylam remove themselves from watching the item, nas ha'achiv al apol shmur alayim, there becomes a chiv on the worker to watch for them. Derak al das kein he'mistalku mishmirasam, because it's only with that in mind that they were willing to leave the house, to leave it unprotected because of that. See, this really is why I was asking about the cousin in the household. Right? That maybe there's an overlap here between the boss and the cousin, who says here, why is there a chiv in this case? Because the people left the house, and they knew the reason they left the house with the door open is because it was only with that in mind that they were able to leave, and that they did leave, because they knew that the po'el will close the door as necessary after they're going to leave the house. So here we're paying a lot of attention to the intent of the owner, why it is that he left things unguarded, because he felt he had room to expect and to rely upon this babysitter. K'dei shlo yichnasu ganav m'chidai m'fayin. El afilu das Rambam, even according to the Rambam's view, hare gam ludido yeshno svaris harash shekivem das blavayisu. Here also, you can say like the Rosh that since the intent of the owner is shapol yishmor es abayis keroi, that the worker will protect the house as necessary. De'ein acher sheyishmer oso, because there's no one else on who could watch it for him. V'lachein kishu halach mehabesat mehabayis. So too, when he left from the house, hapoyel al das kein nishol avod b'bayis zavadoso. The worker, with this in mind, stayed in the house to do his work. V'yishmer de'kach gam eschefzei habayis, that he should also protect that which is the possessions of the household. Ella shekol shomer tzarech adayim kinyan shmira. That the problem is that every shomer needs also a kinyan shmira. V'lo maspika daita shirotzo lishmor v'lishtave. So the fact that this person may have agreed to, by implication, to become obligated to watch the item. Ulam hacha, but in this case, hare kvar bira nesivis, and nesivis explains, she'etzem hashtamsha shel apoyel b'bayis, kasher b'labayis olch l'darko, the very usage of the worker in the household, once that boss has walked away, has left you on his trip, Nechsheves Kabbalas Kinyan. That itself has a status like a Kinyan. Im Kain, if that's true, Ein Kanes Achisarin Shel Kinyan Shmira. So there's no deficiency here, like we said before, of Kinyan Shmira. So therefore, this poel is considered to be a shomer chinam on the whole house. And if he didn't watch everything carefully, and something was stolen or lost because of his negligence, chayav l'shalom, he should have to pay. Okay, and then he references here the Ksos, the Mahani Kenyan Lidvar Vasuyama Basim Mishnamshus. The Kenyan is effective for some things. The Kolshkin Das Aram Shovaka Karka Niktis Bachil's Pairs. Didn't Hach Mishnamshus the Bayas Techshovaka Kenyan Shmir Ladas Aram. Okay, so this usage of the house will become like a Kenyan. So let's just go a little bit further, and then I won't read this whole thing with you, it's very long. I just wanted to get a little bit of sense of what the issues. Tomorrow, when we we'll break for Minch in a few minutes, tomorrow we pick up, I'll tell you what the final conclusions were of this topic without doing the whole rest of it inside. But I'll also mention he has another very interesting Shiloh, which I'll also just tell you about briefly tomorrow. He talks about the question of, it's very relevant, this comes up in a lot of cases, for workers, let's say somebody gives you a job to do and you do it, and then he never comes to pick up the item. All right, so are you obligated to keep watching it until he decides he's good and ready to show it up? And what happens if you're a shop, you have limited space? Are you obligated to leave it in the store until he comes and gets it, even though that impinges on your ability to do business? Right, they put on their, you know, they put not responsible for, right. Right, not responsible to a certain amount of time.
Who talks about it? Depends upon what the agreement was.
Who talks about it? Sorry?
Doesn't the last Mishnah talk about this kind of thing?
To a certain extent, but the question is, it's also coming off of this Mishnah, right? This idea that there's a Chiyuv, and then this scenario over here on Pei Aleph, that the Chiyuv may end when the guy says he's ready. So what exactly happens if the person never comes to pick it up? Or, you know, assume if he really never is going to come, but he's not going to care. But at some point, he's going to come and he's going to decide that he wants you to watch it until then. And what if you want to say like this? I need the space in my store, so let me sell the item. And I'll give the money to the owner. And I guess it's easier to hold on to the money than to hold on to his bicycle in my store. So let me sell the bicycle and I'll give the money to the guy who paid me to fix it. Can I do that?
Are you saying he would just send him the money, or he would just keep
the guy will eventually show up. When the guy shows up, he looks for his bicycle, say, no bicycle, but here's a check, because I sold it.
And is assuming the guy's been trying to, you know, handling him to kind
of... Well, it's not necessarily clear he has to have him, but thus the time passed. You know, he said, I'll pick it up next week, and it's 2 months later. He never showed up. What if the price of the parts goes up in between point A and point B? So, Blineder, tomorrow when we finish this up, we'll just mention what's going on with these things. Let's just read a little bit further, and then we'll break for Mincha. It says, "Lefikach kol poel o zeres umetapelos shneseres levad beis balabas." Any worker who's left alone in the house of the boss, as afal pi shaschar shemikabel siyavar v'dasa shigam. So, even though she's getting paid only for her work. So we've seen already it's machlokas aposkim on everything, whether she's a shomer aspinim or shomer sacher. Ulam bishar dvar v'shenenu vedes pema afilu shenenu mekabel aschar shmirasim klal. But the rest of the stuff that she doesn't have any involvement with at all. V'lochein lo nechshev zekuli al maleim shomer sacher. She's definitely not a shomer sacher on those things. B'chol zos kevin shabayim l'shiro so levar v'bayis, since she was left alone in the household. V'raki yechol l'shmor al-chefzei abayis, that she's the only one who could make a difference here. In terms of protecting the items, imkein al das kein shelo tipsha b'shmira hishirosa. So therefore, with this understanding that she's not going to be negligent, that's why the boss left her there. Kigon shadalas tianu ulo karoy chedome. Things like the door should be properly locked and the like. Lefika chinaisei sal shar chetzi abayi shomer chinam. So therefore, she's considered to be on everything else shomer chinam. Ulam Sagras Adalas Ofen she actually left the Dalas Milchutz Mulim of Tayach. What if she closed the door in a way that you can't open it from outside without a key? Oshi it's doubtful which for is a minal kadoma, or you'd have to break the lock or something like that. Oz he pastura, so then she'll be exempt. Ain't Sham Rachinam Chayav, Lunal Dalakim of Tayach is Adalas. So basically, if it's a complete pshia, then she should be chayev. We'll just read this and finish. It says that it seems to him since the payment is regarding the children and not regarding the house, with fikach benidon didon, none in our case. Afilu aliba da ksos, even according to the ksos, shesham resach and shepasha, lo mekabel schar avra vadasto. Now he's bringing in a whole other issue. Right? Remember, the boss doesn't want to pay. So this is a whole important question. What's the status of, and this is something they go into at some length, we'll have to just summarize it tomorrow. A worker is supposed to get paid for his job. What happens if there's some deficiency in the job that may not have been his fault? But what happens if, let's say, the bicycle repairman does his hours of work to repair the bicycle and the bicycle gets stolen? Okay, so maybe he's not liable to pay for the bicycle that got stolen. But should the owner still pay him for the repair? Should he still pay him for the fixed tire that he never gets to benefit from because it was stolen out of this guy's bicycle shop? What do you think about that? I don't think it should get paid, Jay? Jay said no, really? So that's a part of the question here. So in this case, just this one paragraph. So, according to the Ktsos, Reish Chav Zayin Yir Aleph wrote, Sheshem Resacher Shepasha Lo Mekabel Schar Avar Avadah. So Hashem Resacher is a Poshaya, doesn't get paid for his work. Here he'll admit that she should get paid. Because if the pshia is in the area of that which you are getting paid for, okay, so then you shouldn't get paid. She's not getting paid to watch the house. She's getting paid only to watch the kids. And that's what she did. This is the view of the Chazon Ish, because he disagrees with the Ksos b'shomer sacher shetoe and shegam ken yikabel es oschar avor vadaso kol shekain b'shomer chinam ayin sham. So he disagrees with the Ksos regarding a shomer sacher who wants to get paid. So all the more so with a shomer chinam, that's what it seems to be. Okay, so bring that out tomorrow. Again, we won't leave the whole thing inside. Yeah, very long, but just to address the conclusions here and what are the other issues, and also that other question that we just brought up about if somebody doesn't pick up his stuff from the shop and then the shopkeeper wants to get rid of it, wants to sell it, wants to do whatever, what are his rights? So, Minetta, we will pick up on that tomorrow. Everyone should have a wonderful evening. Should stay dry.